Okay, thank you very much. My name is Bill Quinlan. I'm the president of Eversource New Hampshire. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight and showing an interest in the project that we're proposing. I'm going to give a quick overview of the project that we've applied for a certificate, as well as highlight kind of some of the issues that have been raised during its history, as well as some of the impacts in New Hampshire. I'm going to hit three topics. The first is the energy challenge that is driving some of the rationale and logic behind this project, both in New Hampshire and in New England. How are the states of New England and New Hampshire dealing with it? And then ultimately, I'll conclude with where the benefits to New Hampshire from this project. So what's going on in the energy markets today? This is a topic I hear about regularly from businesses and residences across the state of New Hampshire, and you could translate that anywhere across New England. In essence, what you've got is a situation where energy prices are higher than they should be, and they're more volatile than they should be. They're subject to very wide swings, and there's a lot of reasons for that. The primary driver is identified over here on the left. This is a map of New England, obviously, and we're all part of one power pool. The power plants in blue crosses, are power plants that have closed, meaning retired, they no longer operate, or will be retiring in the coming years. Anything in red is a plant that the independent system operator believes is at risk, either because of the fuel type or the age or the economics. And what you see is that over 4,200 megawatts of generation has retired or is known to be retired in New England, and there's more to come. What does that mean? That's about 15% of the fleet that has for decades kept prices stable and kept the lights on across New England. So we are, in essence, a situation of diminishing supply, and that's creating some of the market volatility that we're seeing. As a result, what's happened is this transformation here between the year 2000 and 2015, you'll see this is a depiction of the generation mix in New England. So what are the power plants that are used to generate electricity? And if you look at 2000, very good fuel diversity, a nice mix of nuclear power plants, coal plants, oil plants, hydro plants, natural gas. The plants that have retired, and many of them are in this area, are coal, nuclear, and oil. A good example of it is Vermont Yankee, which is kind of a recent addition. So what's occurring is we're becoming more and more dependent on a single fuel source for our electric generation. That fuel source is natural gas. The coal plants, the oil plants, and the nuclear plants that have provided predictability and stability in price really have retired or are soon to retire. So that's what's occurring at a macro level across New England. New Hampshire being part of that power pool, we're very dependent on what happens across the six-state region. Okay, here's an illustration of what I mean by impact on prices. So as demand rises and supply comes down, the surplus that we had diminishes. So we end up with a scarcity. As a result, you know, prices begin to ramp up. This is a depiction of what's referred to as capacity. These are incentive payouts that are made to generators, and the commitments are made years in advance to ensure that those plants remain in operation when we need them. So these are markets that have cleared out into the future, 3 years in advance, all the way out to 2019. And you know, the takeaway is for a decade, the capacity market for all of New England has been about $1 billion. Because of the phenomena that I identified earlier, where plants are retiring and supply is growing, but not quickly enough to meet demand, that $1 billion market will become a $3 billion market, a $4 billion market, and 3 years from now, a $3 billion market. All of that translates into higher electric rates across New England. And it's really due to the simple theory behind supply and demand. You have a scarcity situation. So we have visibility 3 years out that prices are going to go higher still than they are today. Here's what's happening on the energy side. So your electric price is really made up of two elements. One, the capacity that I just referred to. The other is the cost of energy. In essence, for any given hour, customers across New England demand a certain amount of electricity to keep the lights on. And the way that price is determined in the market is the independent system operator dispatches generating units until the supply is sufficient to meet the demand of customers. And they do it from the lowest cost generation asset to the one that just meets the customer demand. When you have balanced the customer demand, that last generating unit sets the price for all of the generation across New England. Okay? So the way Northern Pass impacts this in a positive way, which means to lower price, is that it gets inserted into this bid stack at a very relatively low price. So the higher cost generation assets that are setting the clearing price on any given hour get displaced. They no longer have to operate. And the clearing price is then set by a lower cost unit. So Northern Pass plays a significant role in setting the energy clearing price across New England. So that's the energy side of the price of electricity. You take the energy side and the capacity side, that's essentially the price paid by businesses and residential customers. So we have a challenge today. Northern Pass could become a significant part of the solution. I'm going to transition to the what's referred to as the Clean State RFP. So this is what New England is doing about that supply challenge. The three southern New England states, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, in recognition of this challenge, have gone out and solicited projects to essentially increase the supply of electricity, clean energy, into New England. It's for two primary purposes. One, to address that supply situation that I was referring to and replace some of those plants that are retiring, and two, help the region meet its environmental goals. Those are the two principal purposes of this solicitation. Northern Pass, this project was bid into that three-state request for proposals in late January. The project we bid into the three-state RFP is identical to the project that we have submitted to the SEC for consideration. It's the same route and the same project cost with the same, in essence, benefits. Our view is that our proposal is a very strong one. It's a large volume. It's clean energy, so it's exactly the type of power those states are looking for. And from a price perspective, we expect it to be very competitive. Question I get often is, what's the relationship between our project, Northern Pass, and our partner, Hydro-Québec? Okay, so Northern Pass Transmission, NPT, the applicant in this case, is a subsidiary of Eversource, the company. Okay, it's a direct subsidiary. Our partner is Hydro-Québec. Hydro-Québec is the owner and operator of hydro facilities in Canada. They basically control the supply of that hydroelectric power. It's a fairly simple relationship. We've got what's referred to as a transmission support agreement between Northern Pass Transmission and Hydro-Québec, under which we, Northern Pass Transmission, will finance, construct, and own the project, the transmission line that we're talking about here. In a sense, we will provide transmission service to Hydro-Québec, which will, in essence, give them a transmission path to deliver their clean energy to Deerfield, New Hampshire. Okay? In exchange for that, they, in essence, pay for the use of the line, and then they have the ability to sell their clean energy into the New England market. That's the high-level summary of the relationship between Northern Pass Transmission and Hydro-Québec. I know there have been a lot of questions as to those relationships, but it's all spelled out in that transmission service agreement. That agreement has been submitted and approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Okay. So for the last 18 months or so, as I've been involved in Northern Pass, we've been taking a very hard look at this project and listening to a lot of stakeholders across the state of New Hampshire. They range from businesses and residential customers who are struggling with those energy costs, to landowners, to environmental organizations, elected officials, and really what we've been trying to identify is what is the project that, in our view, is balanced, meaning it works technologically, it gets the power from that source, which is the Hydro-Québec generation plants, down to Deerfield, New Hampshire. It clearly has to do that in a reliable way. It has to be affordable, meaning it can't be so expensive that no one will pay for it. And it has to be siteable, which is where the SEC and the Department of Energy come in. You know, we have to have a project that meets the requirements for being sited, both at a state and a federal level. That's what we've been working towards for the last year and a half. We rolled out that project last fall. You know, we announced a new route. I've got a video, a short video that we're going to show in a moment, just to illustrate for you the progression that this project has taken over time. Now, when it was first introduced in 2010, it really has been changed dramatically. And it's been changed dramatically as a result of input we've gotten from New Hampshire stakeholders. One of the things that we have heard consistently, we continue to hear it, is with respect to the impact on aesthetics. So you'll see, as we walk through this progression, the changes that we've made that are very fundamental changes to a project of this size in an effort to deal with that issue that we know many in New Hampshire have. So Andrew, why don't you cue up the video.
The world today revolves around electricity. That's why so much effort and care goes into managing how electricity is produced and delivered to us. New England is served by an energy grid. This grid is managed by an independent, not-for-profit organization, ISO New England. As coal and nuclear plants retire from service and demand continues to grow, ISO New England has highlighted the need for clean, renewable energy sources to meet the needs of the region now and in the future. In October of 2010, Northeast Utilities, now known as Eversource, announced a joint venture with its energy supply partner, Hydro-Québec. The proposed Northern Pass project would bring 1,200 megawatts of renewable power from Hydro-Québec's electrical system to the New England grid through a new high-voltage transmission line. The initial Northern Pass proposal was to begin at the Canadian border with the direct current, or DC, line located in a new right-of-way to transition to an existing right-of-way on the western side of Coos County, where transmission lines stand today. Following an existing right-of-way to Franklin, the line was then to switch to alternating current, or AC, and travel on another transmission corridor to Deerfield, where it would connect with the New England power grid at an existing Eversource substation. The original proposal included a route that was 180 miles long, would deliver 1,200 megawatts of clean hydropower, and would cost $1.1 billion. In response to feedback from Coos County residents regarding the potential visual impacts associated with the proposed route in the northern part of the state, the Northern Pass project team went back to work in 2011 to identify a route that addressed these concerns. The Northern Pass reworked the route with the revised proposal announced in June 2013. Thanks to willing landowners, land and easements were purchased across the less populated east side of Coos County. There were two new sections of underground construction in the towns of Clarksville and Stewartstown, a total of about 8 miles. Another 24 miles was moved to an easement through a working forest, and further efforts were made to mitigate visual impacts along the existing rights of way. The new project proposal included a route that would now be 187 miles long, 8 of which were to be placed underground. It would deliver 1,200 megawatts of clean hydropower and would have an increase in cost of $300 million to $1.4 billion. Forward New Hampshire is the result of working with stakeholders from across the state. The goal? To find balance between expressed concerns and the need for new, clean, affordable energy supplies. Around the White Mountain National Forest, this meant a commitment to bury an additional 52 miles of the line, requiring the use of new, state-of-the-art converter and cable technology. The new technology was not able to carry the proposed 1,200 megawatts, so the project made the decision to scale back to 1,090 megawatts. By making this change, potential visual impacts in the White Mountain National Forest, the Appalachian Trail, Franconia Notch, and surrounding areas were eliminated, doing away with more than 400 transmission structures. In addition, structure heights were lowered along the entire route, and numerous lattice-type structures were replaced with monopoles to further reduce potential view impacts. With the new route, more than 80% of the line will be buried underground or located within existing transmission corridors. This final version of the plan, which is now before the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee, represents a project route of 192 total miles, with nearly 60 miles placed underground, would deliver 1,090 megawatts of clean hydropower and cost $1.6 billion to build. Northern Pass has worked to strike a balance to address concerns about the project's proposed route, while ensuring New Hampshire and the region have access to a new source of clean, stable, and competitively priced power for years to come.
Okay, I thought that would be a useful useful illustration of the progression this project has taken, really to address one of the issues we've heard consistently here in New Hampshire. If you think about that progression you just saw from a project perspective, it's a very different project. It's longer. It's been reduced in size by 15%. It's going to cost about $500 million more than originally envisioned. 60 miles of it will be underground, and a big portion of it is moved off to the eastern side of the Coos County. So these are significant changes in this project. We are now continuing to work at kind of a local level from a design and engineering perspective on all of the structures. You know, what can we do to move a structure, lower a structure, design a structure differently so that it reduces visual and aesthetic impacts? These are changes that we're continuing to pursue as we get into the detailed design, but from a high-level perspective, that I thought it important that you understand the evolution the project has taken since its inception. The other question I get frequently is, what's in this for New Hampshire? You know, the original perspective around the project was that this was all about getting power into southern New England. So what we prepared as part of the Ford New Hampshire announcement was a summary of the benefits to New Hampshire. I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but it's broken out at the top between the environmental and the economic benefits. If you look at the economic benefits over the foreseeable future, approximately $3.8 billion. It ranges from the impact on energy costs. When we evaluate the market effects that I was referring to earlier, it's about an $80 million a year savings to New Hampshire customers. We've made a very significant commitment to the establishment of a fund that will be invested locally, a $200 million Ford New Hampshire fund, $30 million a year in property taxes, some very strong commitments about job creation in the state. When you look at the economic benefits, they're quite significant, almost $4 billion. Beyond that are the environmental benefits. You know, we're talking about a clean source of electricity. If you look at displacing the power plants that we anticipate displacing, it's approximately 3 million tons a year in reduced carbon dioxide emissions. There are no projects that you could envision that are going to have that kind of environmental impact. It just, as an aside, you know, 2015 is the first year in a long time our carbon emissions went in the wrong direction, meaning they went up by 7% year over year. Why was that? It's because some of the power plants that have retired are nuclear plants, which are not carbon emitting, and they're being replaced by natural gas plants. So if we as a region, we as a state are serious about achieving our environmental goals, we do need power plants like this and investments like this, which are non-carbon emitting, are clean, and help us move that in the right direction. Okay, so that's the overview. You know, again, I appreciate all of your attention and involvement and engagement on this. Thank the SEC in advance for their consideration. You know, we have certainly worked to strike an appropriate balance. We're mindful of the four statutory criteria that we have to demonstrate. We think our application has done a good job in making our case around those criteria, and I look forward to your questions.